Friends. The title has been announced, The Stranger Within. I changed the title just a few minutes before I came on, not the general subject. When I planned the telecast, I thought I might call it, Who Am I? But I didn't like to put it in the form of a question, because sometimes questions get you into trouble. G.K. Chesterton was once interviewed, along with a number of other famous authors. And it was one of those typical questions that are sometimes presented to authors, namely, if you were shipwrecked on an island, and you could have only one book, which book would you choose? Some said Shakespeare. Others said the Bible. Chesterton answered, Thomas's Practical Guide to Shipbuilding. And I remember, too, I was once giving a lecture in a hall, and I was talking about not getting down in the mouth and so forth. And I mentioned Jonas, and someone heckled me to the audience and said, how was Jonas in the belly of the whale for 3 days? That was another question. I said, I don't know. I said, when I get to heaven, I will ask Jonas. He said, suppose Jonas isn't there. Well, I said, then you ask. So this question, who am I, really figured in one of the great Broadway plays of a few years ago when a character met a violent death. His father said of him, he didn't know who he was. There's a kind of an amnesia that is going on in the world as regards human personalities. They are lost persons. They never enter themselves to ask, well, who am I? Do you remember reading that famous book of George Orwell called 1984? Orwell looked forward to that year when the world would be to a great extent under communist domination, and he said that we would be full of what he called unpersons. The kind that just drop out of existence like sometimes Soviet dictators. And we are, as a matter of fact, today almost made intelligible in forms of numbers because we are asked, what is your telephone number? What is your license number? What is your social security number? What's the number of the street in which you live? And so on and so forth. William J. White, in his book Organization Man, says that we are today all enveloped in organizations and groups so that our personality is completely lost. We know not who we are. Maybe some of us are just like oranges. We can be substituted. I don't like this one. I'll take that one. Or maybe we're like oranges that are squeezed, in which the personality is ground out of us in order to make the collective orange juice of the totalitarian state. So we hate to be different. to be out of step. Follow the crowd. Everybody's doing it. Even the children will say to their mother, "But Mom, everybody's wearing them." Well, when is it that we ever become conscious of ourselves? And answer that question. Now, I'm going to be very dry, or a little drier than usual for a moment, to talk about two German philosophers. Now, the reason I talk about philosophers this way and say they are German is in order to make you realize that I am learned. You see, if I didn't mention German philosophers, you would think, well, he doesn't know anybody we don't know. So there must come moments in every telecast when one puts on this air of learning. Well, this German philosopher, rather a sad one he was, too, Heidegger. Heidegger said, "One thing that makes us face ourselves is death." Because he said there is something opposite us, which is non-existent. And in the face of that, I must inquire about myself. And another German philosopher, equally sad, was Jasper. Jasper said, there are boundary situations, too. Grief, agony, worry, fear, dread, all of these things, he says, make us ask, well, what's it all about? What role do I play in this drama? But I think quite beyond the seriousness of these German philosophers, there are other things, too, that make us forced to answer the question, and that is sometimes our satiety and our boredom. You know, that's going to be one of the effects of our era of carnality. Is boredom, fed upness. If there was anyone who ever knew the excesses of a life of carnality, it was Lord Byron, great poet. You remember the lines he wrote? "My years are in the yellow leaf, flowers and blooms of love are gone, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." There was a young man who went to see a Parisian psychiatrist a few years ago. And this young man said to him, "I'm bored with life. I don't know why I'm here, what I'm doing." And the psychiatrist said, "Did you ever hear of Grimaldi?" "Yes," he said. "Now," he says, "there's a man who's the leader of Café Society in Paris. Everybody knows him. He's the one who knows how to get fun out of life. He knows why he exists. You go to see Grimaldi and ask him. He will tell you." And the young man said, "I am Grimaldi." Now we come to a kind of a new phase in this inquiry. All the while that we suffer these boundary situations, we feel that there's someone within us, a stranger within. We feel dual. There's a civil war going inside of us. Two opposing forces. As one professor put it, there's a me and there's a PhD. And even the old Latin Virgil poet put it, I see and I approve the better things of life, the worst things of life I follow. He knew this conflict that was inside of him. And so each and every person almost feels at times that there's a kind of a judge out there seated in judgment. And we have a sensation of praise and a sensation of blame. And this is quite independent of what anybody around us thinks. Or everybody else around us can say, that's right, and we know it's wrong. Or that's wrong, and we know it's right. There's a stranger inside. How to describe this stranger is rather difficult. There was a farmer who did a lot of corn stealing from the cribs of other farmers, and he took his son along. And he put the son as a lookout. And he said to his son before he started stealing the corn, did you look up the road? Yes, said the boy. Did you look down the road? Yes. Anybody coming? No. The boy said, but Dad, you better look up. And that's it. One has the feeling that someone is looking. Who this someone is, we do not know. Someone is looking. Someone sees. There were two brothers who owned a grocery store, and there was a lot of pilfering going on. So they dug a hole in the ceiling, and then they circulated around the town, that they always had somebody looking down from a hole in the ceiling. Do you know that after a short time, stealing stopped? And it was surprising to see the number of people that would come in, and as soon as they would enter the store, they would look up. Well, that's what this stranger is within. We all have it. Everyone in varying degrees. I can remember when I was in college. Here was one where it was almost though the stranger was out. We had night prayers about 8 o'clock, and we all went into the chapel. Hardly any lights in the chapel. And one night, one of the boys filled the holy water font with ink. So when every boy went in, put his finger in the ink, blessed himself in the dark, couldn't tell it. So during the prayers, of course, the prefect looked out and he saw black marks on every forehead, and he said to all the boys, everybody out. So he lined everybody up. There was only one who didn't have the mark on the forehead. And I also know of a girls' college where there was a party one night. All of the college girls got together in the big fancy parlor where only rich visitors are allowed. Well, the next morning there were cake crumbs and soft drink bottles and everything scattered around the room. And the prefect, the next day, had all of the college girls walk by the parlor. And she pulled out eight of them. And these eight looked in the room as they went by. No one else looked. They gave themselves away. They had been in there the night before. And now to describe this stranger within, perhaps the best way is to say that there's an encounter that goes on inside of it. We're meeting someone. Hey, yes. Not always a sense of presence, but a kind of a sense of absence. We feel like a broken bone. When a bone is not where it ought to be, it hurts. And so too, when the mind and the conscience is not exactly where it ought to be, it gives a kind of a pain. And a stranger within is meeting us. Now, what's the nature of this encounter? Well, let me tell you the story of an encounter and historical fact. And we will come to the names as we unfold the story. Once upon a time, there was a young man who was a knave, a deceiver, a charlatan, a crook, and a double-crosser. He cooperated with his mother in a great lie. He cheated his brother. He cheated his uncle. And he seemed to forget all about it. But because his brother was in pursuit of him, he ran away to another country. His name was Jacob. And he stayed there for 20 years. And then he starts back. And all of the ghosts that he thought were buried now began to appear because he heard that his brother was coming out with an army of 400 men to meet him. And he was afraid. His brother was Esau. He knew he had done his brother wrong. So, still the crook, what does he do? He sends on the other side of the river hundreds of sheep and cattle, 11 of his sons, not all of them, just 11. 11 of his sons, 2 of his wives, not all of them. And some of his servants, and he said, if my brother asks what you're doing here, you say, all of these are gifts for you. I love you so much. So he lays down now to sleep. And he has a dream. It was a curious dream. It was about a wrestling match. Maybe it was all in the dream. Maybe it was only in his conscience. Maybe it was real. But at any rate, he was wrestling. And this one with whom he was wrestling was a stranger, and they wrestled on through the night. There was an encounter. an encounter with himself and with his conscience. And in this wrestling match, Jacob was wounded in the thigh. This nature that he thought was so self-sufficient, which made him so complacent because he was a trickster, now it's weakened. He had trusted in himself, and now he has to limp. But the wrestling match still goes on. And finally the wrestler says to him, "What is your name?" In other words, who are you? Face up to yourself. Answer the question, who am I? He said, "My name is Jacob." He saw himself. Jacob. The supplanter. The crook. In this wrestling match, suddenly there was an encounter with himself. He saw himself as he really was. But at the same time, opposite this wrestler. And the wrestler says to him, "Your name is no longer Jacob. Your name is Israel. Israel. One who struggled with God." He was in an encounter with this stranger within. And here he's being praised for it, and being told, "Now you know the stranger. Now you know the name of the wrestler. Now you know the one that you'll meet tonight." And Jacob then makes bold to say, "And what is your name?" No answer. No answer. Why not? Why should not this wrestler tell his name? Well, because when you name anything, you seem to have a complete understanding of all that it is. You name a plant. You name a person. "Oh, yes, I know. I know him. I know her. I know it." And if this great wrestler had named himself, there would have been a kind of a total comprehension of all that he was. Being refusing to name himself, Jacob had to learn that here he was face to face with a great unknown, something incomprehensible, something that we meet in awe, in loneliness, and in fear. In other words, this stranger cannot be completely and totally comprehended. And Jacob finally came to know that this was wisdom within, and the wrestler said to him, "Let me go now, for the day is breaking." Why, if he was so strong that he was able to wound Jacob, did he ask to let him go? Because the wrestler's name was God. That is the stranger within. And he never stays unless we bid him to stay. In other words, there are two classes of people in the world. Those who feel the presence of God and those who feel his absence as the stranger within. In order that I may not be a stranger always, let me come back again to your home next week. For the moment, bye now, and God love you.